I think the mistake that people make is they overcomplicate things and they try and do too much and then invest so much time and effort into getting up and running when they're better off kind of simplifying and getting something up and running and improving it later.
Welcome to the Winning E-Commerce Experience Show, where it's all about creating a brand that your customers love so they keep coming back. This show is brought to you by DataQ. Your store experience begins with your homepage. DataQ improves your conversion rate up to 30% by showing each visitor a personalized homepage based on their interest. And now, your host, Shyam Anver.
Hey everyone, our guest today is the CEO of Trellis, a leading e-commerce digital agency. Isai Berlinger, great to have you with us.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Nice, great to have you with us. We were just talking about just what a crazy time, pretty much every business is having, but you know, as a CEO, I can imagine you've got a whole bunch of things on your plate. So it's really good to have, you know, a little bit of your time this week just to talk about, a pretty pertinent issue right now in e-commerce.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're kind of dealing with things on like a daily basis. You know, we are very much long-term thinkers in how we operate the business, but I think we've had to kind of become a lot more, you know, day-to-day, short-term focused, given the reality of what's going on.
Yeah. Maybe let's just get the viewers to get to know you a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about Trellis and why you founded it, your origin story, if you will?
Yeah. So when I started out, you know, I was working in kind of at a media company. I always kind of knew I wanted to do my own thing. So I was always interested in starting my own thing. But as you know, that's very difficult. So working, a normal job, but kind of felt like, there was a lack of small business help to, I was dealing with a lot of small businesses and I didn't really feel like they were getting the right help with marketing and, online, digital presence and all that stuff. So I started out just kind of like winging it to build a digital agency, basically. I didn't realize like really what I was getting into, but I felt like I could kind of solve a need of helping these small businesses. Particularly in the beginning, it was more around SEO, search optimization, but I quickly kind of realized how bad of a need their website was. Like the website was such a big factor, as well as content with SEO. And it also became pretty clear that a lot of these companies really needed like a product catalog, and especially for SEO, it's a lot better to have like, you know, a large catalog of product data than, you know, a 5-page website for SEO. Right. So kind of pivoted into e-commerce and really started to like the e-commerce landscape a lot. So I kind of like moved away from SEO, although we do still do SEO, and I know SEO very well. I've kept up with it throughout my career.
And it's still important for e-commerce, right?
Yeah, of course. So actually we just won a deal because they were like very concerned about preserving their SEO with a new kind of like launch of a new website.
And nice.
We helped them kind of ease that pain and show them what our process was. But I kind of pivoted into e-commerce and definitely a lot of growing pains, a lot of learning along the way. And eventually kind of, you know, we got our footing in certain kind of technologies and processes and really built up around Magento and then Shopify and a few other technologies. We do some WordPress and some other various things. And the e-commerce ecosystem has become so vast. So we're kind of like slowly, you know, we have a lot of like, I guess like add-on partners is what, like kind of like you guys actually to these platforms like Magento and Shopify. So we kind of built this, you know, trusted ecosystem of technologies that we trust, but it kind of mainly typically ties into something like a Magento, Shopify, or WordPress, BigCommerce.
When I was looking you guys up, I thought that was actually quite unique because a lot of, I mean, I obviously have no total data to back this up, but at least quite a few agencies I've looked at tend to focus on this one technology. But you guys seem to be like quite, dare I say, agnostic. It doesn't seem like you care. And I mean, I guess the customer basis, like the customer distribution, maybe you've got a lot in certain technologies, but at least from your homepage, it doesn't look like you have a strong preference. Like you sort of have this menu and you can pick whatever tech you want and you'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the majority, I would say, that we end up working with are typically on Magento and Shopify. Probably isn't too surprising because those are two of the like most prominent platforms. But at the end of the day, we're trying to be platform agnostic in the sense that we want to help our customers choose the right technology. Like we would never want someone to be on Shopify that should have been on Magento, or someone on Magento that should be on Shopify. We want to make sure they're on the right technology, even if that means less money for us. You know, we take kind of a long-term approach with our customers and hope that if we help them grow, they're going to stay with us long-term. But yeah, I mean, there's also a balance to that. I mean, you know, it's hard to do everything. So we've definitely...
Yeah, it's probably a resource nightmare, right? I mean, just having...
I just missed that. Say that again.
Oh, sorry. I was just saying it's probably like a resourcing nightmare, right? Like, let's say like a skills nightmare. Like somebody who knows Vue, it's probably a little bit different from someone who's really good at Shopify.
Yeah. So we've been really smart about that. I mean, we have certain teams dedicated to certain technologies. We have certain float resources that maybe know some technologies, but not all of them well. So we're very careful about who we resource on a project and make sure that they have a lot of experience in that technology. There are occasional times where if there's some learning curve or someone has some learning to do on a technology, we usually try and eat that cost internally and chalk that up to kind of like our own learning cost and not bill that to the client. But yeah,
That's nice. Very pragmatic.
Yeah, we have certain people that are dedicated more to Magento, certain people that are more dedicated to Shopify, certain people that are a little bit stronger with WordPress. Same thing with Vue and Headless. Although we're seeing the kind of like Vue.js, Headless, you know, Angular, React type work. Could apply to also like Magento and Shopify. So that one's tricky to resource
for. Yeah, Shopify is going headless, right? So you could probably do it on that too.
Exactly. So I think the long-term vision is that hopefully everything will be headless, and that actually would make it easier because then it's just like everyone knows that. And then there's just the back office kind of side of things. Sure. But kind of a slow, painful transition before that happens, you know?
I mean, e-commerce always stays interesting, right? You can never sort of rest on your laurels. There's always something new going on that you got to get to know.
Yeah, exactly. I think when you've been on our side and you've seen how hard it is, you know, I think you'd have a lot more sympathy for this side of the business. I think a lot of companies don't realize how hard it is.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. But I mean, talking about changes, I think, you know, we've got this huge elephant in the room right now. I mean, it's sort of the point of this conversation as well. This virus has come in and there's a huge pandemic. So, you know, like, I think it's fair to say this is unprecedented, but how are you sort of looking at it, like in the next 3 month window or 6 month window? Like, what are you talking, what are you telling your clients on how to prepare for this?
Yeah, I mean, we've been trying to talk to all of our clients and some are as much as we can to get ahead of this. It depends on the client. I mean, some of our clients are actually doing really well because, you know, people are home, like, you know, shopping online. Sure. Some clients that are doing well. There's certain categories like apparel and fashion that have been hit pretty hard because, you know, people aren't really going out to buy clothes or even buying clothes as much online because, you know, you can't really go anywhere, right? So there's, plus, you know, I think obviously the reality is that this is just as much, in my opinion, like an economic pandemic as it is a health pandemic. Absolutely. Definitely there's the health concerns and that needs to be taken seriously. And we're all pretty quarantined, luckily, that we can work from home. The work from home was not really our challenge. The challenge is just, you know, navigating our clients and their situations are changing daily. Like clients, you know, may have been doing well for 1 week, but then all of a sudden they can't operate their warehouse for whatever reason because of shelter at home. So right. I think, you know, the general advice is just to get as lean and operationally as efficient as you can. I mean, it's, you know, unfortunate that, you know, this is the methodology that people have to take, but I think the reality is, you really have to take some cost-cutting measures and take that seriously because I think, you know, being overly optimistic right now, you know, you could regret that if, you know, things are still, you know, in a rough spot for 3 months. You know, like, yeah. I think we're hoping that everyone can kind of weather the storm for the next 3 to 6 months as much as they can and get as lean as they can and invest in the small things that they can to grow revenue or if they can have any revenue depending on what kind of business they are.
I mean, just like you said, each industry is having its own unique challenge. So I guess it also depends, like when we're talking about getting leaner, I absolutely agree. I think what would be interesting now to think about is, you know, what areas do you get lean on? So for instance, if you are, you know, in that lucky set of industries like essentials and you're just getting a ton more traffic, I guess you should get more efficient, right? Like customer acquisition is no longer really a problem. But maybe if you're in apparel, now you should really start like thinking, okay, how do I focus on my customer acquisition? Because, you know, and cut sort of maybe the rest of the stuff. So like, you know, do you have sort of different advice for each of these industries?
Yeah, that's a tough thing to say. I mean, I think you're like you said, and it also depends on the business, but the way that I would look at it is, you know, what are the key people that are still driving revenue? You know, how many of them are busy? I mean, obviously, if someone's just, there's no work for them, unfortunately, there may be some hard decisions that you have to make there. And there are programs to furlough people, which is kind of like, sort of like a layoff, but it allows them to keep their health benefits. And it might be a way to kind of like hold on to people when things pick back up. So I think you kind of have to look at each part of the business, like who is actually fulfilling, you know, the product service side of the business, and are they all needed, you know, depending on what the demand is. And I think you have to be realistic about your demand. Like if your grocery store demand is going to go up, but if you're, you know, apparel fashion, it's probably going to go down for the next, you know, 6 months or whatever. So kind of project out some sort of realistic demand and how many people need to service and that. And then you got to look at the other parts of your business. I mean, you're probably going to want to cut down on, you know, non-essential, you know, software costs and, you know, things that, you know, might be considered somewhat of a luxury.
Like
you know
nice
what I mean?
To have, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, if there's just any other kind of like hard costs that you can cut down, those are like a good place to start, obviously, because you don't want to, you know, no one wants to have to lay people off. But at the end of the day, you also have to look at that. If you have contractors that aren't as, you know, utilized or valuable, those are areas to cut. If you have things that like, you know, maybe are really long-term initiatives, you know, that's what makes it tough for us. I mean, obviously it's going to be harder for us to sign bigger long-term projects because no one wants to invest in some big long-term project right now, which I understand, you know, like I think that makes sense for the businesses that can't afford that right now or can't take that risk. So you really have to look at like all the different kind of components of the business and, you know, what are the costs and how essential.
The word of the day really here is to survive, right? Like you got to just take a long-term view in terms of saying, look, I don't know how quickly business is going to bounce back. So given what I do know now, how much cash flow do I have to make it? And if I don't, then I need to make some hard decisions right now to try to get me over that line, right?
Yeah, I saw an interesting video saying that, like, you know, the advice that they were giving to their companies, I think this was like some advisor company was saying that, you know, how can you survive if you have a 30% drop in revenue? And what does that look like?
Right. Have you seen any examples of like e-commerce companies collaborating with each other to, you know, like for instance, you know, I've been having this conversation quite a bit now and I do see very different results depending on the industry. So you might have like this sort of grocery or frozen food e-commerce company just having this incredible amount of sales and then, you know, this other e-commerce company that's not. You know, one option could be if you've got someone in the network, do you think it might make sense to sort of loan out your staff so that they get paid by people who really badly need people? And then, because, you know, the problem with the people who are having record sales right now is that they're also worried about hiring too much because they don't know how long that's going to last. So they're also worried about elasticity. So this could be sort of another option which you have. Have you seen anything like this?
Yeah, that's an interesting. Sort of came to mind. But I think, you know, it makes sense. Definitely, you know, I would love to see something like that where, hey, someone needs extra help. Maybe the other people that are hurting that have the skill set to help could chip in there and get some revenue. And, you know, even like that, that's something that we're experiencing. So it's just a hard thing to execute on because, you know, who's the right person that would get us.
That's true.
Like I said, we're seeing weird drops and increases. And so, like, you know, I talked about the technologies we do. We're seeing that across our services. So it's definitely been the most challenging resourcing thing we've ever had to deal with. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I think it's a good topic to go into because one of the big trends which I'm seeing right now is that just because of the situation we're in, a lot of companies are almost forced to go online. So you got a ton of brick and mortar stores that never sold online before. And I saw you wrote a post about this as well, saying, you know, e-commerce is the future. You really need to be online. And you've kind of got this huge segment of people now who really want to go online. And they're thinking, okay, like, what do we do? You know, there's a whole bunch of considerations to think about. But I guess one area we can start off with is like in terms of technology, like the platform you pick is pretty important. So, you know, for someone who's been a butcher or a grocer and they've never been online, like given your experience with tech platforms, are there a couple that you can recommend that people start off with?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, you know, Shopify is a good starting point for simpler stuff. Unfortunately, though, there could be some scenarios where maybe they need something more robust, like a Magento. But I would say like Shopify or BigCommerce, because they're both SaaS platforms.
Right.
You know, it takes a little bit of the learning curve and pain away that way. Obviously, there's some limitations from that, but those are usually a good starting point. So typically, like a Shopify or BigCommerce are two that I would recommend for someone kind of getting started. But, you know, depending on how complex your business is, you may need something more heavy and flexible like a Magento. You know, those are the places, that's why we focus on those platforms, because they also have a good community of people and there's lots of, you know, talent and information about those platforms, especially between Shopify, BigCommerce and Magento that you should be able to pick them up quickly.
Yeah. And I appreciate that the conversation that this question is not a very easy one because it's so contextual. It really depends on each business and what you need to do and things like that. But I guess the takeaway here is that if you think that your business fits a pretty standard e-commerce model, I suppose Shopify or BigCommerce could be an issue, but if you, sorry, not an issue, but a good selection. But if you've got something more complex in mind, then perhaps Magento. But then I think the other thing with Magento is I guess the cost is also very different, right? Because you probably need more people to take care of it compared to Shopify.
Yeah, it's just a more complicated platform to develop on. And, you know, there's more overhead. You have to upgrade the platform. So you have to basically pay a developer to upgrade it. There's more upkeep. You have to pay for hosting, or you have to pay the Magento. The Magento has a cloud edition, so there's a cost there. Generally, there's just a little bit more overhead and cost with Magento than a Shopify or BigCommerce, but not necessarily depending on how you go about implementing the sites. So right. I think the look at it is if you have like more of a B2B, you know, distributor type, like kind of complex operational processy, or like some crazy customization type process, then a Magento might be a better fit. Whereas if it's more, like you said, more straightforward business to consumer, Shopify or BigCommerce could work. Although BigCommerce is an interesting one because they're kind of in between, I think, Shopify and Magento. So there's some middle ground there. They have some B2B features and they certainly could work for B2B as well.
Right. So yeah, it's not an easy, yes, just do this. So I guess anyone listening in, you should definitely do your research, but hopefully that gives you some guidelines. But and the thing is, we all know, at least with e-commerce, that's just the beginning of your process, right? So now you've picked your technology platform. And the thing is, like, I think the average person right now thinking about this is probably overwhelmed with having to learn all of this stuff like very quickly. You know, what would you say are like two other things which they absolutely should do to get their site online? Because you know, you don't want to be saying, okay, you have to do this and this, and then people are just going to get very, very overwhelmed. Pick a platform and then do what?
Yeah, I think you should really do your due diligence. I think it kind of goes hand in hand. Really figure out what you need short term and maybe long term and see what platform you think kind of matches up with that. And, you know, talk to people like us. Like, you know, I will give that advice for free. I mean, we will take those calls for free. And, you know, hopefully maybe we, you know, eventually work with some of those people. It doesn't, you know, obviously we don't work with everyone that we talk to about this stuff. But yeah, there's a lot of experts out there that can help guide you. as well. So I don't think that it would be too hard to get some advice, but from someone like me, but get real with your requirements. So like kind of figure out what you need. And that means like, you know, how much, what are the products you need? What's the shopping experience like? You know, is it normal, you know, add to cart checkout, or is there some sort of like special step that they need to take? Like there's a lot that goes into figuring out your requirements. And I think that's the first step to really understand what you need. And my advice at this stage would be to simplify as much as you can, because obviously, you know, the economy isn't the strongest right now, and that's kind of the outlook for a while. So the more you can simplify and get up and running. I think the mistake that people make is they overcomplicate things and they try and do too much, and then invest so much time and effort into getting up and running when they're better off kind of simplifying and getting something up and running and improving it later.
I like that. And I think that goes back to that point about the technology platforms too, right? So if you've got something simple, it means that you get to go to the simple platform, get everything done much quicker. But if you make your requirements really complicated, then there's a cost to that.
Exactly. Exactly. And a lot of times, if you really think about what you're trying to accomplish, you can probably simplify some things, you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I've seen people just whip up a Google form and say, look, just send me what you want and then I'll reply to your email. And that actually works. Like if you've got something which people want, people will beat down your door to get it.
Exactly. I mean, there's lots of ways to kind of, I mean, honestly, one of the things that I would have people consider is just get a free trial of Shopify, get a free trial of BigCommerce. There are cheap ways to get Magento up, and we'll host Magento for a reasonable price. And there's other hosting companies out there. Just install it and start, you know, loading up product and seeing how close that gets you to where you need to be. And that also kind of helps you really like put a visual and like real understanding of what's going on than just thinking about it abstractly, you know? Yeah. I think that's the challenge, is that people have never actually used these platforms, so they don't really understand them. And then when you're talking about them, it's just so hard to really get the point across. So my advice, just use them. Like there's literally free trials out there. And with Magento, it's not a free trial, but you can get it up cheap, at least get it installed, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point. I think just because you mentioned talking to experts, so maybe before you even have that conversation, you should think about what you want to achieve and get on that free trial, like you said. And then you're probably going to have a much more cogent conversation with whatever expert you're talking to, because you kind of have more detailed questions rather than something very vague, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think that it's a lot of conversations when you're talking about something that you've actually like logged into and seen what it is.
So let's talk about people who are already online. So, you know, like we touched on this a little bit earlier. Let's say we've got a company that, you know, they're seeing sales going down. We talked about already like getting leaner, but you know, on the e-commerce side, are there any specific examples you've seen of e-commerce companies doing like a good job proactively? Like, I mean, I'll give you an example. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's actually interesting because according to ListTrack, I don't know if you saw this, ListTrack posted a report that, and I'm not sure, you know, obviously it's, you never know exactly how accurate the research is, but they're saying overall e-commerce is up 18%.
Wow.
Do
you know what the data set was? Like, what was the source? Was it U.S. specific or was it on industry?
I'm pulling it up right now. Analysis of more than 850 U.S. retail e-commerce domains. Okay. So, you know, it could be misleading because obviously some of those domains could just be doing well.
Yeah.
Definitely possible. But, it is pretty interesting to see that. But then they break it down into categories. So I think it really, really depends, but, most of the categories they showed were up, and then some were flat. And then there was, you know, apparel is the one listed as the, we talked about the high luxury, might be less likely to be sold. But even in a situation like apparel, I mean, there's still gonna be more people online. I think that's where you really got to get smart and effective and targeted with your marketing and your messaging. And really, like, one of the things that the biggest, you know, growth area that we're seeing right now is our marketing division. We have a really good director of marketing. He's really good with ad spend. And like some of his ad spend campaigns are just like doing amazing because there's just so much opportunity to.
Yeah, like the cost per acquisition has gone down drastically, right?
Yeah, that's weird. Like there's definitely some areas where, yeah, it's less expensive to convert people, which is a unique opportunity. So definitely there's a lot of opportunities right now with ad spend. And that's a quick way to generate revenue because you're immediately getting traffic. So that's definitely one that I think companies should really look into.
And I like that because it's a very positive mindset. It's like saying, okay, so sales are down, yes, but even if they are, look for those pockets of where you're probably having better performance, like maybe it's your ads, and then you could probably look to invest more there to try to regain some of that lost sales, right?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, just generally social media, there's a lot of opportunity with not just the ads, but organic. I think there's a lot of opportunity with email right now, getting creative with email and using that as an opportunity. I think there's a lot of opportunity to also just get good content out there. Maybe that might be a longer play, but I think now if you have the ability to, you know, invest in some, if you can weather the storm and you know that you can make it through this, this is also a good time to really double down on like making sure you have a good infrastructure, you know, for the future and good content and things that are going to last you for a while, you know?
So kind of like get to all those projects that you never could before because you were so busy.
Yeah, exactly. We made the most progress we've ever made on rebuilding our website.
Nice. I'm curious, are you hosting your website on any e-commerce platform at all? Or is it just like a PO sort of WordPress thing?
We have a plan to, we do a little bit of e-commerce. It's more of an operational tool. It's still very kind of early stages for us, but that is something that we want to grow into more. But yeah, we're doing WordPress for the content. We use like advanced custom fields so it's like really flexible to manage the content in the back end. And we're using Vue.js, so it's a headless WordPress site. But the long-term goal is then we'll bring in Magento as well for the commerce. Short-term, we have a Magento site up that will just stay as it is, but long-term we'll bring it in. So it'll all be through the Vue headless front end.
You sound very excited about the headless stuff. I think we should definitely have another longer chat about it when the time is right. I think it's a very interesting topic.
I am very excited about it. Maybe let's have that conversation when people are a little more optimistic.
Yes.
It is, I think, a little bit
long term. Not now. But I think, because there definitely is a lot of potential there. But hey, listen, Isai, I think it's been a very positive conversation so far. I hope that anybody listening in is going to take this just to, I mean, even just the stats you cited that e-commerce is up. Yes, you might have, even if you are one of the people who have been affected with a lower sales rate, there are clearly things to do. And for people who don't have an e-commerce site at all, sounds like there's a lot of options out there with free trials that you can actually get in on, and guys like Isaiah that you can talk to try to find out more about what you should be doing.
Yeah, let me give a quick shout out to Shipper HQ, Pioneer, and there's some other people involved, but I know Karen's been, you know, one of the people heavily pushing that forward, is trying to help kind of offline people get online. And Shipper HQ has like a really good, like I think they have like an in-store pickup solution that you can add on to like a Shopify or Magento or so they're trying to help with that. So in-store pickup is an interesting option right now that I think people should explore as well.
Yeah. What's their website? It's offlinetoon.com, right?
I think it's offlinetoonline.com. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think I've seen that. I think it's like, and the two is like the number two. So it's offlinetoon.com. Yeah, anyone listening in, you should definitely check that site out. I think it's got some great advice. So if anybody wants to talk to you and try to get some more information, how would you prefer they reach out to you?
Yeah, go to our website, Trellis, trellis.co. So we're trellis.co, not .com, not to be confused there.
We have the same problem too, because we're
.com. Yeah, so trellis.co. I mean, you can also find me on LinkedIn, Twitter. I'm pretty active on Twitter and LinkedIn. But then obviously our website, and just go contact us. There's a contact page under the about and also a little bubble on the top right. But we usually get back to people pretty quickly. And this is a time where we're really more than happy to just if someone wants to have just a quick conversation about what platform they should go with or whatever it is about e-commerce, you know, we're happy to have those conversations, even if, you know, we're not going to be, you know, a fit right now, because, you know, this is the time we just want to help people get going with e-commerce as much as we can. So.
Yeah. Now's the time to help, right? I think that's one of the coolest things about, I mean, one of the rare cool things about what's going on right now. It's almost like everyone's in the same sort of mess, and I there's so much collaboration, everyone being so nice, that it's quite humbling.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't have, you know, one thing that's interesting is, you know, I do a lot of in-person meetings, and because I don't have any of that, you know, I feel like I can make more time for that kind of stuff. So definitely people should reach out to me. I'm happy to be a resource and give my two cents on platforms and just strategies. And it's actually a lot easier now that I'm fully remote, not having to take in-person meetings, you know, driving, all that takes up a lot of time.
So does that mean that when things get back to normal, you're going to cut back on those in-person meetings? It sounds like you're pretty happy with the time given back.
We'll see. I mean, people like them. So unfortunately, I don't know if that'll be the case, but we'll see.
Hey there, it was really great having you on the show. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you as well. Have a great weekend.
You're still here, which means you definitely enjoyed that conversation. This is a special COVID-19 e-commerce mini-series to help small business merchants out there get prepared. We're doing a lot more of these, so be the first to know whenever there's a new episode. Just follow DataCue, that's DataCue, on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn. Stay safe out there, everybody. Till next time, this is Sharam.